Welcome to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Join us on our journey to tokenize the world. Let's roll.
Welcome back to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Today we have special guests from Stobox. We have the co-founder and CEO, Gene Deyev. Welcome, sir. And Ross Shem, the COO and co-founder. I've had really interesting conversations with Ross over the past month, and we've been having conversations about really going live with what's going on with Stobox and introducing Stobox to my users at RWA Builders and some of the things we're doing on this side of the pond. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much, Travis. Thank you for having us. Thank you for the invitation. It's great to be here. Of course, we'd be happy to share the insights and our progress with respect to Stobox as well as, I mean, this is a marvelous industry and a great momentum. So there's definitely a lot to chat about.
Yeah, I know we're both on the forefront.
Looking for real world adoption.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for inviting us. It is a pleasure to be here and looking forward for insightful conversation between Stobox and RWA Builders. I think that we have a lot of to share and a lot of to digest.
100%. You know, I know you have some big news we'll get into with Stobox 4 and just different developments of your platform. But I guess let's start from the beginning. Stobox, you know, a really great name. And you guys are the OGs in the security token offering market. You've been doing this for 5 years. And, you know, there's only a few that have been here, have stuck around, and have real thriving businesses right now. And Stobox is one of them for sure. And I know you have a really strong client list, and we'll talk about some of that as well. But really like to just talk about how this all started, you know, just in a short format of, you know, how Gene and Ross connected and how Stobox was formed.
Ross, would you like?
Thank you. Thank you, Travis. Thank you, Gene. Yes, let me start, and we'll be very happy for any comments and insights from Gene, because like we're building the same company for the last 5 years, but each of us have a different angles how we see the full industry and our current operations and activities. So look, we started this business more than 5 years ago, as you mentioned, with the idea to merge the traditional markets with the blockchain, because Gene and I, we have more traditional backgrounds. And for the last 5 years, we built the full Stobox ecosystem that includes different arms and different parts of our business. One of them, it is their consultancy, where we help clients to educate what tokenization is and diving into the business model to understand how tokenization can be feasible. And for the last 5 years, we conducted more than 100,000 hours of research to understand all of the cases, pitfalls, regulations. And also we acting as a global general manager for the client to assist him during their STO path. And we're focusing on each stage of the STO, and it is our unique selling point that we manage all of the process. It is one arm of our business. The second arm, it is their technical ecosystem, because Stobox is a tech company, and so far we built 3 blockchain-based products for the primary issuance for security tokens in the form of SaaS, software as a service, and we launched this product more than 4 years ago, and it was one of the first STO platforms in the world. The second platform that we have, the second product, it is the secondary market for security tokens. This product we released more than 3 years ago, and it was one of the first DEXs, decentralized exchanges, optimized for trading, especially of security tokens and tokenized assets. And we conducted the first case of secondary market of security tokens with our clients LendShare using Binance Smart Chain. And the third product that we already built and released more than 2 years ago, it is Soulbound ID. This verification layer where you one-time pass KYC and then can access all of our ecosystem because it's fully Web3, self-custody through the smart contracts. It's like login with Google, where you register one time with Google and then can log in different services. The same we did in Web3. So it is the second arm of our business. And the third arm, it is our educational activities. And I really appreciate their contribution of their RWA Builders, of their popularization of tokenization of real world assets. And I think it is great strategy. And I know that it is long journey. It is a hard journey, but it's the right way how to contribute. That's why we also sharing our expertise through our YouTube channel, through the RVA media that we built, through the Stobox Academy that we recently launched. And I'm sure and I know that there are different possibilities how we can collaborate. And because the tokenization industry is extremely huge niche, I'm sure that and I believe that it is not about the competition, it is about the collaboration. And it is great to see that different providers, Tokeny, Securitize, RVA Builders, Stobox, Bricken, all of them contributing and bridged through their one idea to bring tokenization on the streets and popularize the real world assets. Thank you. And Gene, do you have any comments especially of what we are building now?
Yeah, I will tell you more what we're building. But it's actually, it's great that we started back then, because back then there was already kind of knowledge within the air that the blockchain would be a supreme technology for any type of transactions. But when we talk about the assets, and usually finance is the first kind of industry to adopt that newer technology. It just appeared that finance and the blockchain, they click, and this is how cryptocurrencies emerged. At that point, it was back in 2018-19, I was in Asia back then, and nobody knew how it would evolve, but everybody kind of felt that you know, that huge potential within the air, like something's gonna happen. And we thought of, okay, what is the main problem? How can blockchain actually create the value? And we come up with an idea. Okay, I think the main would be to transfer something which is very liquid onto the chain to make it liquid. So I guess that would be the first biggest boom within the market, because the liquid, and what are liquid assets? So this is now you tackle, okay, this is tokenization. So you're going to tokenize something in liquid and evaluate that and then put it on some DLT framework that actually will distribute this asset throughout the, of course, with the respect to certain compliance rules and you know, securities laws, but nevertheless, the technology of DLT would actually bring this up. And we thought, yeah, definitely that's the spot to be, but what is next? And it was like no one, you're very right, Travis, there's a couple of companies back then, like Securitize and Tokeny and a couple of other guys. And everybody was looking at the industry from the different perspective. Now we're talking the acronyms, the RWA. There was no RWA back then. Everybody was doing a security token offering on tokenization and all these unique cases. But now it's great that actually we see, you know, patternization and kind of, you know, standardization within the industry, within the token standards, or within the certain approaches, regulatory stuff. You know, how clients see tokenization, because back then it was just absolutely, you know, something untouchable for them. Now they more or less understand what would be the scope. So the industry is being formed, and it's actually great to be one of the dinosaurs within that first DNA evolution. But the most interesting part, obviously, is ahead of the curve. So I think everything is doing and being done now, I think it's just to have an advantage in the start of the industry. And of course, if you look at the BlackRock with Ethereum fund, which is the first fund of that size on the public blockchains, but again, I don't think it has started yet. It will definitely, tokenization is something that will start very, very soon, and then we're all going to explode. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
I 100% agree, and I'll make some comments on that. I think, well, two things. I mean, you guys make it sound really easy. Like, Ross, you're explaining, like, the four pillars of your business, and, you know, we all know that you've spent a lot of time and energy and resources and pivots to work through regulatory compliance, work through legal, have the right partners in place, have the right tech stack in place, and obviously follow all this over time. So, I mean, I know that goes without saying, but I think it's important to know that, you know, obviously this has not been a linear path for 5 years. It's been a very jagged path of getting to where you are now, which, as you mentioned, Gene, I think we're going to see this explode. I think as just being an entrepreneur, I see a lot of this quite often. most of the time we're early, we're too early. Right now, like as you mentioned, Gene, like right now is the right time. Like somebody getting into the industry right now is actually coming in at the right time. We were just a little bit too early at that point, but you still have a head start because you've learned and you've put all these things in place. So you have a SaaS platform, and I do believe that's the future of tokenization. And the education platform is, you know, not to be diminished, because onboarding people and educating people is going to be the most important part, really. And having those easy SaaS platforms where people can you know, that bridge is very easy for them to take the next step. Like you mentioned, Ross, just like signing into Google, like it's no different. Like that's the goal of blockchain. We need to make it completely invisible so that, you know, people are able to obtain value, but without having to have all the technical complexities.
Yes, exactly. And by saying that there are different parts, and it could be sometimes too early, it means that, to be honest, in Stobox, we spent since 2018, 2 years, zero revenue, zero clients, because it was very difficult to educate businessmen what tokenization is and why they need so, because it was too early.
Yeah, you have, your current portfolio is about 55% real estate tokenization, which makes sense. I know your portfolio is probably going to change dramatically, but we know that real estate's the biggest asset class. It is one of the most illiquid, arguably, just because of all the mm-hmm. bureaucracy, all the paperwork, all the legal structure. So it makes sense why that's one of the first things and why that's your largest portfolio base currently, just because companies like Landshare, you know, getting real estate on chain is a significant overhaul to be able to do that.
Yeah. Moreover, it's a very capital heavy market, right? So we're talking about a substantial amount of money, which is more or less valuated. So you can justify the figures behind the brick and mortar. Unlike if you're raising for startups, for example, or you tokenize something which is more of a revenue share, you know, financial instrument. So here you have a brick and mortar, which exactly as I mentioned before, it was illiquid. And even if it may be more or less liquid, definitely it will be within the certain borders of the country. Like we're talking about the US real estate, most probably there is a number of constraints to purchase for investors outside of US if we're talking about the real estate itself. But once we tokenize it, it becomes global. So that's the exit to DeFi. And of course, real estate would be a thing. It's the most capital intensive markets, and it's one of the most, I mean, on the balance sheet, it's a liquid, right? So that's it. Right. You put it on from the liquid balance sheet part to the liquid balance sheet part. That's how it works. And just by that, by this, just even though they, at this point, there's maybe limited liquidity, you know, even though it's getting better and better. But, you know, evolution takes time. So there will be liquidity solutions. But the way how the market now looks at the tokenization, this is exactly, corresponds to our vision, which we were forming a couple of years ago, put it this way. But we see how it's getting a momentum as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will comment that the real estate, why real estate is the biggest implication of the real world assets when we talk about the private capital, because it's also very clear and very understandable for the investors, because everyone around the world know how to invest in real estate and why invest to real estate. And tokenization, it is just the tool, how it simplifies the process, bring liquidity, one window, one platform through which you can invest. And that's why it is easily to explain for investors why they need to buy this type of the assets. And it is also very important, because you can have hundreds of the offerings, but zero investors. But with real estate, it is beneficial for both of the parties, for their companies or for the developers, because real estate, it is very old industry that needs modernization in the processes of investments, and for investors, because to buy a house in New York, you need to have $2 million, and it is very high entry threshold and barrier for your investments.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think to your point, I think everybody understands shelter, whether you can afford to buy a home, right now anyway. Everybody understands the value of shelter. So that's why real estate's going to resonate. The only issue, as you guys know, is just as Gene noted, I mean, the adoption curve is still not there yet fully. The people that are investing in tokenized real estate are the same people that typically own regular real estate right now. Maybe they have rental properties and, you know, they want an easier way, a less friction way to own real estate because they know how hard it is. I mean, I've owned more than a dozen properties at one point, and as a landlord, I know how difficult it is. I've managed over 100 properties through portfolio. So I'm quite aware of all the friction points of that, how tokenization, you know, for the individual investor changes the game dramatically. Part of that is the education, as you guys know, is a big part of it, because people that aren't able to invest in real estate right now are still not fully aware of tokenization, and, you know, for the most part. So that's where your academy and your resources come in, where our resources come in, and just this collective voice of distributing the good word about tokenization.
I would also try to comment on the following, that we are, I mean, tokenization is different to securitization. There's a different ways how it can be done. And even on a technological level, there are a number of differences. And every company has their own vision. But we've adopted the vision where, you know, kind of not your keys, not your money. Even though we deal with the securities, we purely believe on the compliance on air and programmability within the smart contracts instead of having a centralized venues. So whatever we do in Starbucks is auditable and put on chain as is for the logic purposes. So anybody can look at the how contracts are created and what are the rules of the automatic execution. So having that said, we understand that there's a lot of things to build. Right, so it's not kind of a Web 2 system, but it's rather Web 3 systems. So we're working on this. But at the same time, I will give you an example. If you look at the like Facebook version 3 years ago, you will look at this and like, wow, did I use that product? Right, they're like, was it me to tap on the Windows 98? I mean, there's always the evolution goes in general. We can't just be the first one in adopting crypto. It's the whole market is paying up. So in the beginning, when we saw just the appearance of MetaMask, and it's a very kind of awkward ways how people manage their private keys, share their public keys, now it's getting more and more adopted. So I'm sure, and again, we're working on this on the technological level, on the product level, UX level, and we see how the adoption curve, you know, needs a regular user, you know, capabilities of managing the things. Because Web3 is difficult, right, for the average user. You need to have a lot of knowledge. So what we see is like now kind of products, for example, like OpenSea, right, even Uniswap, they're making their UX and making products much more, people-oriented. People are getting aware of this. So when we talk about the adoption of tokenization, even though we built our Starbucks 4 kind of to the top to the top level of today's UXs and crypto adoption, they still curve to be, you know, to be walked, the talk have to be walked, right? So what I want to say is that you can't get an adoption at momentum. It's a growth, steady adoption of how people managing the wallet. So now what we have around 200 million wallets overall, EVM compatible, around 60 million on Earth would be what is called an active wallets, with the transactions with one transaction at least every month. About 60 million of that wallets only. It's less than 1%, and it's a huge industry now. So when the regulations, product, UX, and adoption will meet, at some point in the future, when we start talking about like 20% of the global GDP will be tokenized, we're all heading towards that future, and building, not just heading. It's very important. Everybody builds, whatever we know, all the companies around, you know, sharing and building this path to the bigger picture.
Yes, exactly. And also one of the challenges that I see currently, because tokenization goes mainstream, and anyway, we see more and more tokenization providers, cases, new players, and it means different technologies, different stacks, different smart contract standards. So the current challenge that we're also trying to solve, it is interoperability, where you have a different smart contract standards. And if you will look around the world, what happening in RVA, you will see many cases. But currently, like co-listings and cooperations in the smart contract level, it is impossible because each provider has each standard, small cases. Around the world, you will find thousands of them. But in reality, right, when we talk about secondary market and next movements, once primary is done, it is very challenging to bridge because it is different technology stack. That's why in Stobox 4, we're trying and will support the main, not only ours proprietary smart contract standard STV2 that we developed more than 2 years ago, but also the smart contract of Tokeny and then many others of providers to provide the like one venue where the co-listing will be possible. And it is also very challenging now, and it is the next level of the adoption. But there, the cases like Jin mentioned of BlackRock, I think it's like the benchmark of the industry, and it showed that any financial instrument in the world one time will be tokenized. And real world assets, let's start from the definitions, right? It is a different niches that are included. For example, the private capital, where we see the real businesses like real estate, that we already discussed. We have commodities that could be also determined as RVA. We have T-bills, so it is tokenized treasuries of the governments and public companies. We have the tokenization of collectibles of items like Rolex watches or cars. We have the stable coins, and I think it is the biggest case of RVA in the world. Because if you will think about of their circle tether, so it means USDT, USDC, it is the biggest case of RVA in the world. Because what they did, they have the fiat currencies that are in papers or in digital form. It is real world assets, and they put it in form of tokens and tokenize it. So it's the biggest case in the world. And it is also one of the parts of their real world assets industry. What we discussed with Jin before, what will be the next evolution in the upcoming 10 years of the RVAs? And it is very interesting topic, because what we believe in community-driven businesses. That's why we think that the next evolution could be their tokenization of your private securities, of your private time, where you can tokenize yourself. Because if you will think as an investment fund, why would you invest in some company if you have the opportunity to invest in person who can create a different company? Doesn't matter, successfully, unsuccessfully. And you have this opportunity to invest directly in person. And we have already several successful cases in Silicon Valley in US in paper-based, where their investment funds officially invest in person for the lifetime value that person generates. And I think it could be the next vehicle, the next future of their real world assets, because it's changed the life of the population from their unbanked countries, from the poor countries, and opens a lot of opportunities for people to fundraise for themselves.
No, I love this transition, and there's great points by both Gene and Ross. I mean, I think the transition of why Stobox is different, you know, what you're doing differently, your thesis, and also, like, as you mentioned, Ross, like, there's so many different applications of RWAs. You know, we're just scratching the surface, and it's a long game. You know, it's iterative. Just like, even though you've put in all the hard work for 5 years, the hard work is just starting, as you guys know. Like, it's going to continue. To your point about the U.S., you know, just stable coins. I mean, I think, you know, we talk about, you know, you hear the thing of, or the statement, the iPhone moment. You know, for the iPhone mm-hmm. moment for people to come on chain, I think for that moment for RWAs, stablecoins are a good use case for this, for example, because we know all around the world, you know, the U.S., even one of the most modernized countries, our inflation, you know, debatably the U.S. dollar might be worth about 92 cents right now. So if we get regular Americans, other citizens around the world, and many countries that are even significantly more affected by inflation, they're learning about stablecoins and they're starting to settle in stablecoins. So I think the bigger picture is not necessarily Bitcoin being the overarching currency. And that's just, you know, a hot take, mm-hmm. but I think it's really about stablecoins. I mean, me personally, when I'm working with companies on go-to-market and things, I mean, I prefer payments in stablecoins because fiat is, you know, I'm already taking a 10% haircut most likely. So I think that's really an unlock moment, because once people are on chain with stables, then it becomes very easy to see, okay, how am I going to invest these stables? Yes, there's going to be some yield. There are yield-bearing stable coins now. That's starting to become a thing. But then it's, how do I get better yield, more predictable yield? Okay, real estate over here. Maybe I have an interest in certain collectibles. Like you mentioned, Ross, like maybe I'm, you know, a big fan of this person that's creating these companies with value. I'm going to invest in their, you know, lifetime value of that person's, you know, productivity. So yeah, I mean, the sky's endless. I've heard you guys talk about this on your podcast recently, just about all these amazing applications and, you know, some more up the risk curve and some more, you know, kind of like the T-bills are, you know, kind of base layer, so to speak. Stable coins are base layer. But as we start moving up the risk curve, there's so many opportunities as well.
No, thank you, Travis. I agree. I would, again, this is the main point of turning people onto DeFi. And this is, I think, regardless of the substance, whether it's a cryptocurrency, if it's RWAs, or they can be different reasons why they're, even memcoins, right? We don't care. We just need people more on the DeFi side, because the DeFi side, having said that everything will be tokenized, now you have your wallet and you have your kind of vision of rendering your financial, you know, thoughts, right? You're the king, right? You analyze information, you have access to whatever DeFi products. It's all borderless, with respect to compliance. I mean, we know there's a lot of regulations now being enforced, but that's your access to the independence on the DeFi. And on CeFi, you always be dependent. You depend on your broker, you depend on your bank, you depend on a lot of things, on a social credit. That's also a new dependence in our world. So with the DeFi, I think that's the main point of inflection where people turn. And again, I would agree that stable coins would be an easy conversion point. So before they go into kind of more diversified RWA perpetuals, they would rather move their payments, right, to stables, understand that it's faster, better. Of course, you don't have a bank to call, but you know, these days, not many people have the bank to call, right? So they're stuck with the ordinary banking machine, and which is quite heavy and slow. On the other way, you have these DeFi payments on TRC20 within the seconds. That's the adoption. And then, of course, on top, we'll have the RWAs, the MEMS, the TIMES, and name it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have comments, Jim. Yes, you're completely right that the main agenda, it is to move people from their CeFi to DeFi in general, and then from DeFi they will start using RWAs, because as Travis mentioned, as you mentioned, when you have already your stable coins in your account, you will think about what you can do with these currencies, where to invest, and there are some events that motivate people around the world to forget about CeFi and start researching DeFi. And it is the cases like MTGOX, like FTX, where they're losing the money at centralized venues in crypto. These events motivate general public just to research how to store money with your keys in DeFi. Okay, you need to install MetaMask. Okay, you need to understand how to buy gas. But in this case, you will be responsible for your funds. And of course, around the world, we still will have millions of people for whom currently more convenient will be to use CeFi. But with this evolution from the technology-wise, from the adoption-wise that Travis and Jean already mentioned, I think we will see this direction of movement, those people to their decentralized solutions and start utilizing their simplified version of MetaMask or any other providers that will help them to onboard to the products. The same that we have in Stobox 4, because in Stobox 4 it's like there I call it Web 2.5, because from one standpoint you have simplified process of onboarding. You need to have the email and password, but then you will be attached by MPC non-custodial wallet, where the half of the private key will remain to the provider, for example, Fireblocks, and the half of the private key will remain by user. In this case, you still have the opportunity to back up and to reverse if you will lose your half of the private keys that you don't know how to store. But it still simplify the process and make it more secure, because anytime you can withdraw all of your assets to Web3 completely, to your whitelisted wallets, if you do not believe or trust for in CeFi, right, in centralized venues, and it is completely okay. But you have this layer of protection. So it's like non-custodial, but half of the private key remains by the user and the half of the Fireblocks. And I think that this evolution with such a solutions, it will additionally help everyone to onboard people around the world for different products, including real world ads.
Yeah, and including also, yeah, go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to add, we always miss the guys who are about 2.5 billion people, and this is people who are back. And we talk about the switch from CeFi to DeFi, which is perfectly fine, but what about people who have never been to CeFi before, right? We're talking about 2.5 billion people that most probably within the next decade will have an access to whatever phone. It's an Android, iPhone, I don't care, but it will be a wallet there. It will be any sort of identity attached, and there will be some sort of tokens, most probably stable coins, and there'll be plus 2.5 billion people into the game. So that's a lot.
That's massive. Yeah. And to your point, 2.5 billion people, many of them, as you know, are connected with a smartphone already, which is the irony. Like, they have a smartphone. Not all of them maybe are fully compatible, or, you know, there's certain other regional issues potentially, but from the sense of technology, that technology is much closer to this adoption curve of bringing those people directly into DeFi versus CeFi. And many of the reasons they aren't in CeFi is not because it's, you know, sometimes it's trust, sometimes it's the government, as you know, sometimes it's just a barrier. You know, the CeFi institutions don't want someone that doesn't have a certain net worth, you know, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. But I think that was a perfect transition too, Ross, of just talking about, I think the future is this non-custodian, you know, your keys, your wallet, but then having the Fireblocks type solution where you have an MPC, excuse me, you have a little bit of peace of mind, you know, from having that wallet extraction. And I think that is really the future, again, of just another thing, as we've been talking, the motto here of just how do you get the adoption? A lot of it is education, but then also it's the concern of risk. It's like, hey, if I go to my bank, in the US, you have a $250,000 insurance policy with FDIC. So you don't worry, even as bad as the press might get, legally, you're able to get your insurance, you know, if some reason that bank goes out of business or something. So I think that is definitely a, you know, it's not a sexy part of DeFi and what we're doing, but it's a very important part of people feeling comfortable putting a lot of times their net worth or their, you know, hard-earned investments into something that they feel like, what happens if I lose my key? What happens if something happens?
But, you know, very right. But when you look at the CeFi, it's always local. CeFi is always local. It's always regulated. But when you take US, you take Europe, even though there's a global companies and there's a passportization processes, right, and certain harmonization of. Nevertheless, if you have an account with the Chase Brooklyn, right, that would be a different story. If you're having, I don't know, in Wells Fargo's in some way. But so there's a different CeFi infrastructure, whereas on the DeFi, it's all harmonized. It's all global. So you don't have, DeFi is the access to the global markets, like pure access, pure on chain, and you have enough. If you have enough, there is enough information for you to go through and understand what is the contract, right? What does it do? How is being built? So you're on a awareness side of DeFi finance, and now it's global because of the DeFi protocols. They don't have to chat on a different standards. Nobody knows what they're chatting about, and then they end up with being named with Bernie Stearns with a 20% more equity on the public, and it's a public company, right? And everybody says, okay, how come they have more 20% of assets than they have on the balance sheet, tradable on New York Stock Exchange? Like, we have a clutch, come on. Bernie Stearns, the biggest company. So that things would be just impossible on DeFi, right? It's transparent, somebody will click, and that's it. So yeah, no more scams that way.
That's why I think, you know, I know we agree that public blockchains are, I think, a big part of this, and BlackRock proved that with using Ethereum for their first fund, you know. So they could have obviously focused more on a permissioned chain, and you know, they chose to keep it transparent. And I think that's quite important that we see that involvement. I believe in that thesis as well. And I think from I guess as we're building up to this transition too, like Ross, you touched on this a little bit, but maybe walk us through. I know you've given me excellent explanation of like Stobox 4, and even just starting from kind of like the user experience of onboarding, what this looks like. You talked a little bit about the simple Web 2.5 type of onboarding, and you know, having a Fireblocks wallet, you know, where that makes it a lot easier and more comfortable for people to onboard. But let's talk a little bit more about your Stobox 4 and just, you know, all the things that you're doing differently, because we touched on this different times this conversation, but I think it's important as we're getting toward the latter half here, is just really digging in of how people can get involved, what's different, and you know, why this is such a simple process. And then we can talk a little bit about, you know, your ecosystem token as well, and how that kind of fuels incentives and Web3, you know, ethos, which I think is quite important for community.
Yeah, thank you a lot.
I will steal that answer from you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please
start. Steal the product part. Look, we deploy dashboards, right, as the platforms for our clients. It's a manual process. And because we're talking about the securities legislation, most of the cases, there are certain processes that you can't just mainstream. So it's not a crowdfunding company, it's not a crowdfunding platform. So we have to deploy software for all of the clients. And even though we optimize this process, every client meets certain challenges, because there's a corporate side of management where you manage your securities, and there's an investor side. So given the fact that it's all Web3, you would have your own investors, and the company would have their own investors, and you will have the same problems or same benefits as they. So we kind of create similar infrastructures for all of the clients. But then we realized at some point that, look, in order to enforce new regulations, we need to be wallet issuers, but we need to make sure that the wallets are non-custodial. At the same time, there could be a compliance logic put on it, because most of the clients, they're not sophisticated. They don't know how to manage the securities legislation, which basically would just put them into potential fraud scenarios. So we need to take care of this. So we need to create a programmable logic for the securities to behave with respect to the issuer's desires, or, you know, issuer's compliance. And to bridge everything together, it would be one of the, I'm sure that's the best way how it should be done, is by creating a bigger platform. This is basically a Stobox 4. That you would create the wallet, and we are the wallet issuers. We're using the Fireblocks technology, but nevertheless, the wallets are attached to identity. So every transaction within Stobox 4 is a compliant transaction. So that's a must, right? Because again, we deal with the RWAs and with securities, and compliance something we have to focus on. Again, if people are happy with memecoins outside, that's perfect. But our territory is all the transactions have to be attached to to the KYC data on chain. So that's the first engine. The second engine, we understand that there's a different types of securities and there's a different type of businesses that can be onboarded. And the first customers would be not people who would like to tokenize, but as that you're very right, the people who would like just to use stable coins or, you know, any digital assets, but in a compliant way. So by bridging KYB data, KYC, UBO, and bridging the compliance with the wallet infrastructure, we're able to pull the pure Web3 compliant payments. That actually you can export data from blockchain via API and show it to your tax attorney. You can prove it, it's yours, and you can build, you know, a payment within the company, your own company, for all of the people outside, you know, working off different jurisdictions. So you can use this as a payment tool. And the next would be, of course, you as a business, you always have your assets. What you can do with them? Tokenize. That's a next step. After the payments are being done in a compliant way, you think, okay, and what is my security token? It can be a revenue share in your podcast. It can be a profit share in your personal interest from whatever. So what we'll be facing, it's much more sophisticated assets that can be tokenized. So it's not just the corporate, but the kind of derivatives of personal and corporate. You can play around. You can buy an attention. You can do a lot of things. And we need that playground to play, right? You need to, because we never know. Time is one type of asset, you know, T-bills. So we need two things. We need an infrastructure to list others, right? So we speak the same language and people get access to something which is perfectly fine as Ondo, for example, or Lyft, or that I get access to some staking in a compliant way. At the same time, they should be able to create something new and tokenize that new, make sure they frame it correctly legally and, you know, and token wise. And the last, but that definitely not the least, is that what we face is the problem of trust. Because, okay, BlackRock issues a fund. No way, no questions. But if either of us would issue a fund, like unless we know each other personally or we have a huge heritage and legacy behind our names, everyone would question what it is, like, why would I buy your fund? So what we're doing is that we are creating a, I don't want to say it's a marketplace, but basically within the flow of token issuance, we have providers that actually can do audit and verify you and your contract. So imagine you tokenizing something with two legal providers, KPMG in Geneva and Ernst & Young in New York, by blockchain approving this offering. So would that would be that different to your potential investor, how they treat your token? Of course it would. So we're kind of bridging the adoption, compliance, and a bit UX with the ability to create this asset, not just purely on the blockchain, but attached to validation, to legal, you know, legal facts. So you will able to see, like, you know, NFT being traded, you can see how the security being born, who originated, who created, accepted this, who evaluated. So it should be, you know, getting ready to a bigger industry. So you look at the, you know, as a potential investor, you build trust. So Starbucks builds that trust. And again, we've seen so a lot within the last 5 years. We have that, you know, vision how we can put it now and definitely make a next step in the adoption of the things.
Exactly. I may say that we are the innovative plug socket for other sockets. Because through the Starbucks 4, our main agenda, it is to have one venue, not the marketplace, but the venue where we can create the functionality where the user Once he is onboarded through the email password, then the user will be attached by the MPC non-custodial wallet, where, as I mentioned, the half of the private key remains by the user, the half of the will be remained by the Fireblocks. And then the user, because it's non-custodial wallet, self-custodian, need to have deposit the gas. But it will be connected through their exchange, where he will be able to deposit through their credit cards. So simplify the process. Then it will be the functionality for store crypto, compliant store crypto in this wallet. Then it will be the functionality of tokenizing the assets. What assets? We will bridge T-bills from Ondo, from Maple, from other providers. We will bridge their private capital tokenization through our understanding, utilizing different service provider standards, as I mentioned, by Stobox, by Tokeny, and by any others. We will create the functionality of tokenizing real estate or any collectibles like Rolex, like real estate, like cars through their NFTs, right? And we will we have this black socket, and when I'm saying so, I mean that it is perfectly fits with integration with different providers. For example, we utilizing the expertise of the teams like chain analysis, like Arbitrium, like EuroS Statis, the biggest Euro stablecoin, like IDOS that will do the verification, like Fractal ID. So all of these guys will be in one click integrated with our solution, and it means that through the Stobox 4, you will have one window through which you can store crypto, tokenize your assets, buy the gas for your transactions, and then stake your currencies. And in this case, you will remain the user of Stobox and be in one platform to use and utilize all of the digital assets. And it is the main idea. And you, Travis, touched very important point about the risks, right? And it is extremely crucial for our listeners, because if our listeners will open their X platform, Twitter, and will navigate through the hashtag RVA or STO, they will find zones of the companies, a lot of projects that having their utility tokens with zero traction, but under their abbreviation and agenda of RVA. But they have nothing with real world assets, and the users and their listeners, they need double check and do their own research. What company does, what they tokenizing, where, how, under what processes, through KYC and KYB or without, because it's extremely important, because the common user, common investor that have no idea what tokenization is, utilizing and using Twitter, YouTube or other channels, and will see a lot of projects that do marketing, because tokenization now is a trend, as you, Travis, mentioned, we just started. Yeah. And it is extremely important to do the proper research about each project, each token, or each offering.
Yeah, you guys really brought this together so nicely, hearing, you know, the bigger picture, how Gene, you described that, and how, Ross, how you kind of associated that with the socket and the window into, you know, into Web3. I think that, you know, this... You've been on the front lines for 5 years, so you see this evolution where a lot of the projects, as you mentioned, Ross, they're in the phase right now where they're literally manually tokenizing things one-to-one. You've already been there, done that, and you're still doing that. You've already proven that. You already have clients in that area evolving the Stobox 4 into the window into Web3 that has all this built-in compliance, has the comfort level and trust there. And so I commend you both for this consistent vision of evolving. And as you mentioned at the beginning, like, you guys, you know, it's, you still got to walk the dog. You still got to do this work, because it's going to be constantly evolving. And you want to look back a year from now, 2 years, 3 years from now, and be embarrassed of what the technology, you know, technology is going to advance so much. You want to keep going with it. And I love seeing that. And I do think that that is really the future, is you have a window in there into Web3. You're able to, make your payments. And I will touch on one thing I think is super important, what you mentioned, Gene, about derivatives. I mean, I've been, not enough people are interested in talking about this yet, but, you know, there's debatably 700 trillion in assets, like traditional assets out there, like including real estate, et cetera. But that doesn't count any of the derivatives. You brought up excellent examples where in Stobox 4 and in these, you know, new Web3 applications where you can, to your point, Ross, you know, investing in a person, investing in all these things, the derivatives market is going to be 4, 5, 6x or more of what the existing market is. So the tokenization of all of this stuff, as we know, I mean, it's early and it's going to take a long time, but it's exciting to talk about. But I mean, it's significantly bigger than the $700 trillion that traditional assets fit under. So I commend you guys for building this, and I do think that derivatives is actually potentially a bigger storyline. You know, in soon, you know, it will be.
Absolutely, I will just comment on the following. If you look at the, and it's very simple when you just look at this, right? You take time, and this is your asset that you can't mint more. That definitely within your life, that the asset that increase the value, and you definitely is looking after that asset, right? So by tokenizing 1,000 hours, and I would just give you an average example, like there's a lot of people are moving. It's not just economic movement, it's due to some sort of negative global effects. For example, they move countries. An average hour of an IT person, just give it $40. So $40,000 just by tokenizing 1,000 hours, which is less than 6 months of a full-time job, would be a very good substitute to nothing, because banks not gonna support these people anyway. Friends and family, they shrink, and some not may not be, you know, a very healthy way of raising that aid. And this is a very economic. You don't donate to a person, but you rather buy an asset out of him. And if it's properly insured and then put on the financial rails, we pay developers, we pay marketing fees in hours. Why don't we use that as the collateral in the first place? Because they already get paid. So these hours can be minted and redeemed. That person is the value of the hours they increase with the education they put in their brains. My value, my investment into, you know, people's time, they increase in the long run. I mean, there's certain limitations to where we have finite time. But I mean, you're very right. So if you look at this concept, and it's already, we don't just even think how it's close, because we're already charging our based on time. We pay programmers, we pay a lot of things, lawyers based on time. Why don't we tokenize time of a young, bright kids and then make sure they are, you know, they're successful. So yeah, derivatives and the new asset classes definitely will be a new paradigm of, again, and once we at some point will put the AI on the blockchain, and humanity will put this will create, you know, a new economy of that blockchain avatars. And you know, it's only in crypto that robot can pay a robot, right? So in order to get R2R transaction, they only can be done through smart contracts. No bank's gonna handle this. So once your drone will be talking to my drone, the only way they can pay each other is through the crypto, right? So yeah, that's it. And we're just getting there.
Yeah, crypto is going to, a lot of people talk about how crypto is, you know, kind of on a walled garden apart from RWAs, but crypto is essentially the economic currency of RWAs. You know, it's going to, and just like Stobux has a utility token for gas and for other incentives, you know, these types of economies within the Stobux ecosystem and any other ecosystem that comes into Web3 are the future of commerce and the future of economies, especially of scale. And as you mentioned, having a platform like Stobux 4, and as you continue to evolve it, that also allows you to move in and out of traditional investments, whether that be like the Ondo type T-bill or something that's a complete derivative. And again, this goes back to like a balanced portfolio. You might want to invest in this time of somebody that you are fond of, that you think is going to be successful. That's obviously significantly higher on the risk curve. And then you can be in the Ondo, one of their funds or Superstates funds. And those are and other ways to, you know, to obviously have a, like a predictable yield, you know, that you're going to know you're going to get. So, this has been a really amazing conversation. Always like to geek out on these things and just kind of talk through all the, where we are now, where we're going. And, you know, it's really nice to see Stobucks is on the front lines of this, and commend you both for doing that. As I mentioned earlier, as we're wrapping up, what last words do you guys have? I'll certainly let people know to visit Stobucks.io, Stobox.io, and, you know, really get involved if you're not already, and projects specifically looking for tokenization, and they're looking for a platform that has done this before and already has a significant number of vettable and successful clients, should look into Stobucks for sure.
Thank you, Travis, for your kind words. Thank you very much. Now, for the last words, I would say, guys, it costs you nothing to get educated in this domain. You can always contact us, jump on a call with us, see how you can leverage tokenized assets in your business. Every case is very unique, and we're very open to, you know, we have clients through all five continents within different industries. So we have some experience in what we're talking about and we're building. So just give us a call, and we'll definitely help you in understanding how things can be tokenized and what would be the benefits for your business.
Exactly. So I might say that my advice will be the following: that start researching about the tokenization. If you're the investor, if you're the corporate, if you're the company, because you still have the opportunity to be one of the first and get all of the benefits and gains of your activities. Because the fact is that all of the financial instruments will be tokenized. The question is when you will be onboarded to this industry. And now you still have this opportunity to get all of the benefits, because as we may know that the biggest gains are in the beginning, where you are the first of the adopters, and you can use some services, some technologies, some assets, and get the benefit from the gains. So start researching about it. Please following the RVA builders, the podcast, research about the industry, visit Stobucks Academy, RVA Media to be educated, and we'll see you onboarded in RVA.
We will.
Yeah, being five years in the market, and once you love that thing, you no longer work a day. Love with RWAs. That's why we're just having a chat rather than walking.
Well said, Gene. Well said, Ross. And I will end this way by saying that, you know, as we know, like these kind of conversations are important in moving the industry forward. And even though you've been doing this for 5 years and you've been very successful, you both are very reachable. You're both very much interested in having conversations with people, as you mentioned, Gene and Ross. You obviously could be harder to get to and be less interested in talking to people and getting the word out, but that's actually not the case at all. And I love the transparency. I love that you're accessible and available. And it's been an amazing conversation. Look forward to having you guys back at some point soon to talk about the new developments. And as we have more of Stobucks 4 in the market, we can talk more about how that's impacting RWAs and onboarding crypto users.
Absolutely. We will be unwrapping Stobucks 4 together. So well done.
Beautiful. Talk soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you
very much, Travis. All the best. Ciao.
Same to you. Ciao.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Real World Assets Show. Thanks for joining us on our journey to transform the future of finance, one asset and token at a time. For more insights, visit us on the web at rwa.builders. I'm Travis John, and I'll see you on the next episode.